Whew. So thank you for bearing with us over the last few weeks. I'm not used to us having a 3 o'clock afternoon service, but I was bound and determined that we were going to have church this week, one way or another. Somebody asked me when I said a few weeks ago that I figured that we would miss a few Sundays because of snow or COVID if I was being prophetic. I said, well, I wasn't knowingly being in the moment, but unfortunately that has come true. Yes, me and Sarah did have COVID. We are doing pretty good, though. Sarah got over it pretty well. My biggest problem was a sore throat, and the sore throat, as it often does with me, with different sicknesses, basically produced ulcers in the back of my throat. So my throat and tonsils are covered in ulcers right now, and I've only been able, like, I really got to eating solid food again about 4 or 5 days ago. I was basically on a liquid diet. I told a few people this evening that one little known side effect of COVID is we'll give you a mustache. but luckily that didn't happen with Sarah. She didn't have that symptom. But no, I figured, I said, if I ain't going to see nobody for 2 or 3 weeks, I might as well give it a go. So I gave it a go, and we're going to. And the wife approves, and that's the only opinion that matters. All right, so here's what God told me when I was standing over there. Forget my sermon and preach from my heart. I hadn't done this in a long time, but we're going to be in Acts chapter 16 today. Sorry, Zach, everything you've done back there. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through probably 40. We'll see where the Lord takes us. But here's what I know. I was going to teach on multiplication today. I was going to talk about discipleship. I was going to go over how we are called to multiply disciples. We'll save that for Sunday morning. But here's what I know. And you could see it during our worship service. We have a lot of people going through a lot of things right now. And I don't even know all the situations, I'm sure, but the situations I know of, we have a lot of people facing a lot of things right now. And for many of you, just as Randy prayed, you know, Randy, he basically what he was talking about was his toe that he injured a while back has opened back up, the sore has opened back up, and he thought he was done with it, and he doesn't understand what God is doing. And as he was praying that, he didn't realize that he was speaking for a lot of people in our church who are going through things right now. And so, you know, I asked God, I said, you're calling me to preach something else, aren't you? And he said, yep. And I went through whatever, went going through in my mind what I could preach from, and Acts chapter 16 came up. And so in Acts chapter 16, we actually see Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Silas, who are doing the Lord's work. I'm going to read to you. There's going to be no points, obviously, because this is on the fly. But I'm just going to talk to you. We're family, so we can just talk. Let's start verse 16. When we were going to the place of prayer, so when it says we, that means the author of this book was with Paul and Silas. So the author of Acts is Luke. And so he says, one day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. So they encounter this girl that has this ability, has this literally a demon that enables her to tell the future. And she earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Let's stop there. So this demon inside of this girl could tell that Paul and Silas and Luke were going to do the Lord's work. That they were coming to tell people how to be saved. They were coming to tell people how to be followers of Jesus. They were going to make disciples, which is ironically what my sermon was about today. They were doing what the Lord had called them to do, yet she just kind of kept aggravating Paul. You know, it's okay for Christians to get aggravated sometimes. And so this translation says, finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around. So he got annoyed at this girl, at this spirit that just kept talking about him and announcing to everybody there what they were coming to do. So he commanded it in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and instantly it left her. That was ministry work. Paul was doing what he felt led to do in that moment. Paul was doing what God calls us to do. And so, of course, that's going to create a firestorm. Her master's hope of wealth was now shattered. This is verse 19. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to these city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. You know, sometimes I think Christians nowadays need to create a little bit of an uproar, a little more of an uproar than what we create. Our world is getting worse and worse. And let's just be honest, there is demonic influence everywhere. And we, as Christians, often just kind of overlook it. Or we even fall for it and follow it. We need to stand up against the ways of the world. We need to stand up against the ways of the enemy. We need to stand up against the ways of Satan and create our own little uproar here in America, here in our community, here in Randolph County. We need to move against what the enemy is trying to do, because you can see the enemy's working. Maybe, you know, obviously all around us, but maybe even the enemy's trying to work in your life. You need to create an uproar in your life even to push against the enemy. So, of course, a mob quickly formed, according to verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Sounds like they're in a castle in a dungeon. I've never seen that translation. All right, so here's Paul and Silas. They are just going about their life to do ministry work. They're just going about their life to do what God has called them to do. As I've got the feeling the people who are in this room and listening to me right now online was doing in their life. Just going about life. I was just trying to do what God was calling me to do. And then, you might not have been beaten by a person. But maybe you're like me and you're coming in here today and you feel beat up by the enemy. You feel like the enemy stripped you and beat you with rods, wooden rods. The enemy flogged you. And now maybe even today, you feel like you were thrown into a prison. That could be a prison in your mind, where these thoughts just keep circulating around. These thoughts just keep trying to weigh you down. It could be a situation where you feel like you are in prison. Could be a relationship. It could be an injury. Could be a sickness. Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was in a prison in some ways. Luckily, Sarah was there with me. But I felt like I was in a prison in some ways with COVID. I mean, I didn't get really sick, but there was a side to it that I was talking to someone, and they told me that they thought there was a spiritual side to COVID. That there was a side to COVID, and you know, just to think about how bad this sickness has been all around the world, I think there is a spiritual side. I heard Tony Evans say the other day that it's almost like the Lord's trying to get our attention and to remind us that He's God and that we're not.
Because
when you get really sick, luckily I didn't get really sick, but if you got really sick, you had to rely on God. I think of Don Graves, sitting right back there. I remember meeting with him over in the fellowship hall. He told me his story. He was hospitalized with COVID, and he remembered laying on that bed, even really a bed. The hospital was so full, he couldn't even get a bed initially. He was just laying on that gurney, waiting, begging for God to move on his behalf. And luckily, he's here with us today. But that's the story of people. And so maybe you are dealing with something. Maybe it's not a physical sickness. Maybe it's something you're dealing with in your mind where it feels like the enemy has locked you away in prison. And I get kind of what Randy was saying earlier. It's often hard for us to understand why we go through bad things. Why do we have to experience a virus that has taken so many lives? This is a question people ask, why would God allow something like that? Why would God allow whatever is bad that has come into your life? I can't answer that. We did a whole series on the book of Job where we basically came to the conclusion we can't answer that. But we do know bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. But as part of living in a sinful, fallen world, there is going to be things that happen that is not what God originally desired for us in the first place. But because we have sinned, because we have fallen away from God, because of humanity as a whole, because of Adam and Eve falling away from God, we have fell away from what He desires for us in our life. And so there's going to be times where we experience bad things, even when we were doing everything we thought we should have been doing. There's going to be times where life just sucks. There's going to be times when we are struggling mentally, we are struggling physically, we are struggling as human beings. That's part of being a human being. That's where Paul and Silas find themselves. My candle just went out. I could tell it was. That means I'm done. I gotta leave. Paul and Silas find themselves in this situation where life, they were going about their business and life got them down. And I'll even say this with Paul and Silas, because they were doing what the Lord has called them to do, bad things came upon them. Maybe that same thing's happening with you. Maybe you're experiencing some trials and tribulations in your life because you were doing what you were called to do and the enemy hated it. Let's go another layer. God was blessing our church. He still is blessing our church. But God was blessing our church in mighty ways towards the end of 2021. We were seeing some record attendance numbers. We were seeing people's lives change. We were seeing people commit, go into a deeper relationship with Jesus. We were seeing God move in mighty ways. And now we've missed 2 weeks of service. Any momentum we had, gone. Every church, unfortunately, is in that boat around here. But you know what? I don't consider it a coincidence that we have seen all these blessings God pour out on our church. You know the enemy has to be mad. Yeah. And so what the enemy is doing is he has attacked at us collectively as a church, but he also knows that if he can attack us as individuals, he can weigh us down. Right. Where we're carrying these heavy burdens. Where we feel locked in a prison. Where we get mad at God and ask God, why is this happening to me? I'm sure Paul and Silas felt that way. I've seen a picture of what they were probably locked in, and it was just basically a cave. I want you to think about the deepest, darkest cave. It wasn't out here like right in the doorway where you could see the sunlight. It was back, deep down. If I had to guess, it'd be somewhere over here. Which is ironic because it's right at the cross where Jesus is. They were right in like this dark cave, pitch dark at night, and locked away, chained up. And you know they had to be thinking, God, here I was just trying to do what you have called me to do, and this is what happens to me? Here I was doing what I thought you called me to do, and you allowed this into my life. It's easy. I get it. I was there with the miscarriage. It's easy to get mad at God, to question Him, and say, God, here I was trying to do what you've called me to do. God, I don't understand why this happened to me. Why is bad things coming to my life? And I'll be honest with you. I look back now on that time, and I was struggling with some major pride. I felt like I earned good things to come into my life. Like, it was almost like I was saying, God, I'm not bad. I can't think of anything intentionally that I've done wrong, so why would you allow this to come into my life? And since then, I've come to the realization that, hey, we're all sinners in need of grace. That none of us deserve anything. And as soon as you think you deserve something, oh, you've hit the pride level. That's where I was. I'll admit that. So if Paul and Silas were like most Christians, we would be struggling at this point. We would be saying, God, are you kidding me? God, we were just trying to do ministry, and you allowed us to be locked up and beaten and flogged. They have all these physical sores, and they're locked away in prison, and yet, what is Paul and Silas doing? I love this story. Verse 25 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Listen, they were not mad at God. They might have been. I mean, this doesn't tell us too much, but I kind of don't think they are. I kind of think they're just saying, God, I know you're going to use this some way. They're talking with their creator. Here's what they're doing. I'm reading a book right now about peace and about anxiety, but how God will give us peace if we, and it goes over some things that we can do. But one of the things that the last chapter I read talked about recognizing God's presence in the midst of anxiety. That's exactly what Paul and Silas are doing. They obviously can't sleep because it's around midnight. And we know pastors go to bed like at 10 o'clock. At least this pastor does. What was that thing you saw the other day? She saw something. Oh, yeah. It said something about, here's why you should not call your pastor after 9 o'clock. It's past your bedtime. Pastor, your bedtime. It's past your bedtime. And Sarah said, that's you. And I said, yep. But here they are, they're awake at midnight, probably, if you think about it, if they just was severely beaten and flogged, they're probably hurting. Some of you are probably in physical pain today. They're hurting. They probably can't sleep. And so what did they do? They recognize that the God who they worship, that the God who cares about them, the God who's going to save them, the God who did save them, the God who gives grace, they recognized His presence in the midst of the horrible, terrible situation. How often do we do that in the midst of our prison moment? How often do we do that when we're in a situation like this where we're hurting or we're in a bad situation or we feel like we're locked in a mental prison? One of the first things we should do, church, is to recognize the presence of God. But here's how the enemy works. I know because he's tried telling me this. God's not here with you. God's not here in this moment. See, we think God is this God of the mountaintops that when things are going good, that's when God's with us. It's easy for us to recognize His presence. It's easy for us to worship Him. It's easy for us to pray because we believe when life is going good that God is there. But then when we get down in these depths, into these valleys, into the prison, into the cave, that's when we think darkness has taken over and there's no way that God, who is light, can be here. That's exactly when we think that God's left us. And you know, I know who tells you those thoughts. It's our enemy. The liar. The one who spreads lies, the one who has come to steal, kill, and destroy, he's the one who wants to make you believe that God is not with you in your valley. He's the one that wants to make you believe that God would never be found in a prison cell. That God would never be found in this area, in this darkness, because he's the light. But I'm here to tell you today that that's exactly where God is, because God is with you. So wherever you are, God is there. And what the devil's trying to do is he's trying to make your darkness seem so powerful that it blinds you from the presence of God, who is there. He's that light shining in the darkness, illuminating the way for you. But so often, that darkness seems so strong that we can't see it. We can't see him. I don't know if Paul and Silas are struggling with that or not. Well, I want to know, why is Luke not locked up with them? How did that rascal get out of that situation? He's a doctor. He got out of it. I don't know if Paul and Silas are struggling with that right now or not. We're not given enough information, but I know that we should follow Paul and Silas' example. Even when you can't see God, even when you think he's not there, even when you don't think he's working, recognize his presence. The presence that provides us with peace. There's something comforting knowing that God is with us. I've been napping a lot with COVID. I'm very tired. And so one day I was napping on the couch, and I was laying the opposite way than I normally lay, and I was all covered up, all bundled up. I think that was one of the times I was running a temperature, so I couldn't get warm. And our little dog Max, he's the dumb one, he goes running around. I don't remember. I guess he just woke up. He goes running around, and he can't find me because I'm laying the opposite way, head uncovered, but he's the dumb one. And so he's running around looking for me. He's freaking out because he cannot find me. But then once I, you know, said, "Hey, Max," or whatever, he saw me. He recognized my presence. And because he recognized my presence, he went and lay down too. They're pretty good about sleeping when I'm sleeping. They're not good about sleeping when she's sleeping. They'll know I'll smack them, and where she lets them up on the couch and cuddles with them. But Max, he was at peace because of my presence. Same thing happens with God, but how often are we looking around like, "Hey, God, where are you at? Are you here right now? Are you in this situation? Or did you leave me? You must have left me." He's there. We just got to recognize his presence. Even when you can't see him, guess what? He's still deserving of worship and praise. You still can talk to him. That's the great thing about God, is that you can talk to him anytime you want. He's always there. He's always a friend waiting to talk with you. He's always a father wanting to hear your requests. He's always our God who hears our prayers. And I know how it is that for me, that I need confirmation that God's there a lot of time. I need to sense his presence. And I know a lot of times you might not be able to sense his presence because of the darkness. But that's where you got to do exactly as Paul and Silas did, recognize his presence. So they prayed. They sang some hymns. What hymns do you think they sang? Amazing Grace? Probably not. It wasn't written yet. Yep. Not unless this happened in the 1700s. I don't know what they sang, but they worshiped. I heard a preacher say one time that he was picking, and I can't sing, obviously. I can't sing, especially right now. But he started singing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'll trust in his name. And that's not exact words, but. And it was such a powerful moment thinking Paul and Silas sitting in their prison cell in the darkness, and the other prisoners are there. I guarantee you there are other prisoners going through the same thing you're going through or something similar. There's people watching how you're responding to whatever you're facing right now. There's Paul and Silas in there, and they're singing praises to God, and it says the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, when we're going through trials or tribulations, when we're going through a dark time in our life, that is such a great time to be a good witness of Jesus to other people. Because if they know you're struggling, and they see that you're struggling, and yet they see that you're still worshiping God even in that valley, you know what? They might just say, you know what? This God fella, this might be someone that I might need to pay attention to. If they're going to worship Him even in the midst of this situation, then this might be someone that I need to pay attention to. Especially for these prisoners. I'm sure they especially felt that after this happened. So as they're praying and singing hymns to God, we're told in verse 26 that suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. That's pretty good, because what I've been comparing the prison to is whatever the situation is that makes you feel like you've been locked up. You know God can shake that situation to its foundation. You know God can do whatever He needs to do to shake that situation, to fix that situation, to work in that situation, or to bring you out of it as He's about to bring Paul and Silas out of it. That's exactly what our God can do, yet the enemy tries to make us believe in the midst of it that it can't happen. And as soon as he makes us believe it can't happen, our lack of faith can limit God's ability to work in our life. And so we've got to keep faith, we got to keep the belief, we got to believe that yes, God can do what He wants to do at any situation. So here's what happens. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner, that's key too. It was not just Paul and Silas that got let loose, it's everybody that was in that situation with them, because God was moving through Paul and Silas. I don't know what you're facing today, but you are probably going to be able to help shake the chains off of someone else who's going through that same situation. Maybe right now, maybe another day, I don't know. But whatever you're going through, now you, because you are worshiping God in the midst of it, God can use you to help someone else who's going through the same thing. Because Paul and Silas was faithful to God, they got locked up, but also them and every prisoner in that prison, the chains that fell off of them. And so the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. And he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. That would have been a big no-no. If he would have allowed every one of them to escape, he would have died probably either way. Punishment. But there he's just wanting to get the punishment out of the way. Luckily, Paul saw him and Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." How many prisons around here, if every door opened up, all the prisoners would have stayed? I looked at David, and David's smiling because you know David would have been one of the first ones out of there. David would have went running. Yet every prisoner in that jail cell, in that prison, was still there. So the jailer, he called for lights, and he ran to the dungeon, and he fell down, trembling, before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out, and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see what God has done there? A situation that seemed dark, a situation that Paul and Silas didn't want to be in. A situation that was uncomfortable, a situation that was something that they felt like could have been, and I don't know, but we would have felt like it would have been just a bad situation to be in. God used to at least change the life of this jailer, if not everybody there. Let's read on. He wants to be saved. And so they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And so they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, you're looking at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, something like that. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them, washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his house were immediately baptized. I've never had a midnight baptism service. Paul and Silas did. God took a dark situation, a situation that none of us would want to be in, and God turned it into an opportunity for Paul and Silas to do what he has called them to do, which was to minister, which was to make disciples, which is what my original sermon was about today. This man, this jailer, he brought them into his house. He set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to go. So go in peace." This jailer, so obviously Paul and Silas went back to prison even after everything that happened. They basically stayed up and had a God party all night and then said, "All right, we're going to go check back into the hotel and we'll see if they let us out in the morning." Luckily they did. But I want you to see here that even though Paul and Silas was in a bad situation, even though they're in a situation none of us would ever want to be in, God still worked in and through that situation. He worked in Paul and Silas. I guarantee you they came out of this with a stronger faith than what they went in. But he worked through Paul and Silas to make disciples. And here's what I want you to really get. He used Paul and Silas to change this jailer's wife and his whole family for not just the rest of their life, for eternity. Their eternal destination was forever changed because Paul and Silas went through a dark period. Whose eternal situation could be changed because of the dark period you're going through? God can and God will use you, but you've got to get your focus on Him. You've got to turn to Him, you've got to focus on Him, and you've got to say, "God, I'm giving this situation to you. Use it however you see fit. If you want to use this to change me, then change me. If you want to use this to make disciples of other people, then use this to help me make disciples of other people. God, I am going to do whatever you want to do, but in the midst of this situation, in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this thing, this is tough on me, Lord. I'm barely able to make it, but I'm going to worship you because you're still deserving of worship. I'm going to recognize your presence that brings peace, your presence that you want to use in power to use me to reach other people." Whatever you're going through today, church, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's an injury, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a job situation. I don't know. But whatever you're going through today, I just want to encourage you to turn to the Lord. To recognize that He is there with you, that He is with you in this moment, in this time of darkness, and that He will use this some way, as long as you keep your eyes on Him. Here's what I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and do. I'm going to ask us to do "Too Good to Not Believe" again. Because right now, I've got a feeling there's some people in here that think that, y'all can come on up. I got a feeling there's some people in here right now who feel like maybe God isn't that good right now. And maybe the enemy has tried telling you that He's not good. And that if God was good, you wouldn't be going through this situation. If God was good, we wouldn't be dealing with a pandemic that has killed a lot of people. Maybe he's telling you, you know, maybe God is good, but maybe he is not with you right now. He's going to bless other people, but why would he bless you? You're not deserving. That's where we should say, yes, I know I'm not deserving, but I'm thankful for the grace of God. That's part of his goodness. That's part of who he is. So you know the bridge of the song. We just sang it. Where it says, don't you tell me he can't do it. I don't know who you need to tell that to. If it's yourself or if it's Satan. If you need to yell it out as we sing it today. But let's sing. Let's worship our Savior, the one who can resurrect. The one who can bring life. The one who is with us in our dark situation. The one who is with us through whatever we're going through. He's the one that we can believe in. He's the one that is deserving of worship and praise. He is the one that's going to work in your situation. He is the one that's going to use it for his glory. But you've got to follow him right now in the middle of it. So I want us to just tell the devil today, leave us alone. Let us out of this prison as we worship the Lord together. I'm praying today that some chains break and some prison doors are open. I'm praying that today some miraculous things happen in your life because I know it can because I know Jesus. I know God. And I believe that as we're singing this, if we truly sing and worship and come to God, I believe people are going to experience some healing today. And if you need to come up here to the altar, of course the altar's open. Talk with him. Meet with him. Pray to him. Cry out to him. But most importantly, let's worship him. Let's stand to your feet. Let's sing today.